Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Today, Olivia and I are talking about our recent trip to Portland, Maine. And then with a side trip from Portland, Olivia, we went down to Rockland to get on board the Victory Chimes. And it was all part of our quarter miles that we love to talk about, where we take the U.S. Mint's quarters that they designed for all of the 50 states. And each state had a chance to choose something to go in the back of that state. And Maine chose a ship that is still sailing.
The only one left that's still sailing of its kind. And hopefully you guys have enjoyed our quarter mile segment. We've expanded it now into a podcast.
Yes.
And we've released, we're going to release a couple more episodes by the time you hear this, but we've released a story about the Wright brothers' first flight and hearing from those handful of witnesses that got to see it with their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also released an episode on the Georgia Peach and
that's
a
right.
secret history of Augusta National.
Yeah, you have to listen to get the full story, as with this, because the next Quarter Miles episode is going to be about the Victory Chimes and a conversation with Captain Kip Fowles, which is one of the captains. There are actually two captains that actually own this ship, Olivia. They own it. I was so amazed to find that out, that they own it.
It is amazing. And lots of love and hard work goes into maintaining the ship.
Maintaining it and offering these amazing, fantastic, spectacular cruises that you can take along the coast of Maine. And it's just breathtaking to just look over at the coast and see all of the forests and the trees and the greenery and the little areas that look like coves and homes that are built on them. I mean, there was just so much to see. I mean, it really is magical to be out on the water sailing in one of the first ships, types of ships that really could claim America as building those ships, sailing those ships along them around the U.S. waters. So it was really fantastic to be on that. And I got a chance to actually pull the rope and help raise the mast.
Yes, you did.
There are pictures of those. I have not posted those, by the way.
You should.
I don't know if I should post those.
You burnt some elbow grease doing that.
Yeah, and I had the expression on my face as though I was burning a whole lot of elbow grease. Like the elbows were like just about to give out there. But it was so much fun. So when we talked to the captain, he talked about really how the Victory Chimes kind of came about, you know, the history of it being built, how it got its name, you know, where all it has sailed. So I think we should share a little bit of that conversation today on the show, but then encourage people to go to travelbagswithanita.com and hear the whole show, the podcast show, and check it out, because he goes into a lot of details, not only about just how the ship, you know, kind of came to be, but how it ended up in Maine, sort of the path and the route that it took to get back to Maine, because it was in Maine, then it went some other places. And then also, too, just some stories on what it's like to actually sail on the Victory Chimes. And again, the Victory Chimes is the design that's on the back of the Maine State Quarter.
Yes, and that is the very ship. And Captain Fowles himself has a fascinating life, fascinating family history. And he has owned the ship for almost 30 years. So he's been sailing it for that amount of time. So there's plenty of stories there. And I think it will also answer a lot of questions people may have, because this is a unique experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're wondering, you know, what it's like, where it sails, what the conditions are like, you'll have a lot of your questions answered with the interview.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we can both say that for us going on board, yes, it's not your typical cruise, but you're not going to be working all the time. And I think sometimes people think if they go on the Windjammers, they're going to be working, you know, pulling the ropes for the mast and doing all of that. You can do that if you want. You can help cook if you want. You can do anything that you want to do, including just kind of kicking back and just enjoying the wind in your hair and the, you know, the just the breeze in your face and just all of that and the scenery and the sunrises and sunsets.
Yes, for example, Anita burnt some elbow grease and I luxuriated.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. We did both so people can know what to do.
Yes.
So let's take a listen here to Captain Kip Fowles, where he tells a little bit about how the ship was built and where it started, and then how it got its name, Victory Chimes.
Well, it was built at the end of the age of sail, when we still could generate income under sail. That means with no power, just a sailboat, and which was what everything was at one time. And the internal combustion machine came along. So it was 1900, and the age of sail had ended. We just didn't know it yet. But there was still a good financial reason to build a sailing vessel like this, because you could generate income with it. And so that's why she was built. And it was built in a little village called Bethel, Delaware, which is right on the Maryland border and a little creek. And I think it was the first town ever to become a National Historic Landmark, the little town itself, Bethel. And so she was launched there, and her purpose was to haul lumber from the eastern shore of Maryland to major East Coast ports, because at the time there was no way to get it there but vessel, because there was no bridge. And she did that until all the trees were cut. Didn't take long. And then she was owned in out of Baltimore, Maryland. She used to be owned by a group in Salisbury. Then she was sold to a group in Baltimore, Maryland, called the C.C. Paul Company. And the C.C. Paul Company is now owned by the Vane Brothers, which still is in existence. And they owned four or five sailing vessels. And she had a route for years to from New Bern, North Carolina, to Snow Hill, Virginia, back to Baltimore. Snow Hill, Virginia, had fertilizer plants, and she would take fertilizer. And then in New Bern, there she'd pick up lumber and bring it back. So she had this little program that she would do. And she got lucky. One is that she was built with very good wood. And two, she was always found a cargo so she could generate income. And three, she always had owners who would take care of herself. Now, when vessels like this were launched, wooden vessels, 10 years was a long run if they lasted 10 years. And so they never thought they'd last wooden 10 years. But these vessels built with such great wood, longleaf, yellow pine, Georgia pine, yeah, good stuff, such good wood that it lasted. And so it didn't need a lot of maintenance. But the maintenance it did need, it was taken care of, and it was paying for itself. So she survived all that through World War I, the Depression, World War II, and she actually did some mine work, looking for mines, because she was wooden, out of Baltimore. And then, pretty much after World War II, the internal combustion machine had taken over, and the age of sail was done. It was complete. It was done before that. But things kept it going, like the Depression kept sail going. And then World War II, because fuel got so expensive, that you could sort of make a go of it. And by the end of World War II, it was all done. And so a group from Annapolis, Maryland, a guy by the name of Neust, I forget his first name, K-N-U-S-T, and he's known in the history books as a railroad magnate, whatever that means. And so then he had been to Maine and had seen this small windjammer fleet that had happened in Maine with these old vessels, gave him a second boost on life. So we thought he'd try that, and he bought two of them. The 11 J. Marvel and the Edwin and Maud, which is the vessel's original name. Maud without an E. Don't explain that to me, because I don't know why Maud with an E or Maud without an E. But Edwin and Maud were the two children of the first owner, Robert E. Riggin. And then she went into the Annapolis, out of Annapolis, Maryland, and started the windjammer business and sailed summers, which were a lot longer in Chesapeake Bay than they are here in Maine. And that was back in the late 40s, early 50s. Chesapeake Bay was a lot different than it is today. So there were a lot of people that wanted to do that, and then finally he got tired of it, and she went up for sale in 1953, the end of his season in 1953, I think it was, and then so a group from Maine that had been in the business knew of the vessel, the two vessels, the 11 J. Marvel and Edward Maud, and they went down from Maine, we say, up to Baltimore, went up to Baltimore to look at the vessels, or Salisbury, I think she was hauled in Salisbury. They looked at both vessels, and they found this vessel to be in better shape. And she was brought to Maine, sold and then brought to Maine. In 1954, she started her first season in Maine. And that's when she got her name Victory Chimes. It was changed from Edwin and Maud because the Mainers thought that Edwin and Maud sounded like two mules. And Victory Chimes the original Victory Chimes was a Canadian schooner that was actually 16 years younger than this, that was launched on Armistice Day. And when Victory Chimes will ring throughout the land. So it means peace or end of war. And that vessel hung around Maine for a long time. And what had been lost by the time this vessel came to Maine in the 50s. So they named her Victory Chimes after that three-master. And she's been Victory Chimes ever since.
So that was Captain Kit Fowles. And if you guys want to hear more about it, he talks a little bit more about how the railroad actually came about and changed the way we perceive time, as well as the whole sailing industry, and where the terms windjammer and tall ships originated. So you have to listen to the podcast so you can hear that again at travelbankswithanita.com. Now you guys sit tight, because when we come back, we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about something happening locally that you can go and take part in.
To sail on a dream on a crystal clear ocean, to ride on the crest of a wild raging storm.